Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another at-home edition of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about five cheap marketing options. And yeah, I like this episode a lot.
So yeah. cheap, free.
Yeah, starts essentially free. If you have zero money at all, these are going to be hard because they do require things like a computer.
Yeah, good point.
But it's probably stuff you already have in your business. It's probably things you're already using to do for your personal life and your business. And you don't have to necessarily spend any money to get going on any of them outside of what you're already spending money on now.
Yeah. And I like the idea that they actually work.
Yeah. These things work incredibly well. And I would almost, if I were to rename this podcast episode, I would just say the five things you should do in marketing when your business starts. Or the five things you should be doing in marketing, period.
I don't think people would read that. I think people like cheap.
Yeah, cheap. People like cheap. But these are, so they are cheap and they are mostly free. And they are, I refuse to use the word essential anymore. So they are really important for businesses.
Yeah. So who do you think would benefit from what we're going to talk about today?
So when I thought about this episode started off in one direction and really just turned into what I feel is three core people listening to this. If this episode caught your attention and you're not a regular listener, if you're a regular listener, thank you. And you're going to get a lot out of this episode. But if you're not, and this caught your attention, it's either one of three things, in my opinion, at least, is that you're a new business and you're working on a shoestring budget. Right, you are not trying to spend all your money at once, dumping thousands of dollars into ads and marketing. You're trying to figure out, how do I take this credit line I have or this cash that I have and turn it into business as efficiently as possible? You're going to love this episode for that. You're an existing business and you're dealing with an economic downturn or recovery or uncertainty or whatever other problems could be happening with your business financially. You lost a big customer, you know, whatever it might be. So you're looking to get that business back or grow your business without spending any money because maybe it's really tight. And then the third one is you're actually doing really well and your business is thriving, but you realize that using your money wisely is going to be really good for your business in the long run. And at Coldesi, we do well. We spend a lot of time focusing on this type of stuff though. You know, how do we market efficiently? How do we spend money efficiently? And it's not just about dumping money everywhere you can, because that's going to get you in trouble in the long run.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that Coldesi does all of the things that we're going to talk about. One or more people do all of the things that we're going to talk about basically for a living. So
yeah, absolutely. So I say we jump into them, and if you're one of those three people, maybe there's a fourth person out there I haven't thought of, but I think you're going to like this content too.
Maybe they just like the sound of our voices.
Yeah, they do. And and you know, what's also interesting about this stuff is this stuff actually, it does require a little bit of work. Okay. So immediately going into this, you're going to have to do something after this episode. And if you do, you are going to make money from this. You don't, then you can sit there and wait for the phone to ring and complain. You're not listening to this episode because you're the type of person that is waiting for the phone to ring and complaining. You're the type of person.
When we see those kinds of comments on our one of many Facebook groups at this point.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's never a podcast listener. I don't know why.
Never is. I've used the example before. Excuse me, I have a sip of my Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, there was, I remember hearing somebody talking about being a good parent and baby books. I think if you remember, I've said this, I think it's an important thing to bring up again now that we're talking about that, is that what's the best baby book to get? You know, I think is how the question started. Which one should I get so I know how to raise my baby correctly and I do a good job and they grow up to be, you know, a great person.
Yeah.
And the whoever I was listening to or reading said, the fact that you are at the store or online shopping for baby books automatically means you're going to be a better parent than somebody else who doesn't care to do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's
because right. You're going to be making first of all, you're actively doing something, right? So whoever's listening, this is actively trying to improve their business because they're doing something. They're listening to a podcast that's designed to help improve their business. And then you're going to continue to take ideas in, and then you turn those ideas into what works for your baby or your business. The same thing.
Your business, your Yorkie, whatever.
Yeah. They're all the same
all right,
thing.
They're so all the first one that you've got down here is LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
What made you think of that?
You.
Okay.
You, no, so the first one we wrote is LinkedIn for pretty simple. And I'll give kind of my explanation of why I thought about it. And I'd like you to maybe dive into some of the practical behind it. But
yeah,
LinkedIn is if you're not familiar, it's a social network. It's a business-centered social network. So it's a place where business owners, business people socialize. It's where they share articles, where they try to kind of quote unquote connect with each other. So you did business with so-and-so, or you used to work with so-and-so and you become friends on there. And then you can refer things to each other. You can refer articles, you can refer people, you can refer businesses. You can join groups and connect with other like-minded people. And it's kind of known that on LinkedIn, you're going to be either recruited or sold to or be selling to someone, and it's acceptable on there. It's a little more uncomfortable to get a message from one of your friends on Facebook asking you to buy leggings, right? or join their Amway group.
Do your friends ask you to buy leggings? That's
Well, not me, but I'm sure somebody's had that happen. Some Lululemon leggings DMs. And it can be a little awkward then to say no to your friend there. And it's because that's not a place for that, right? It's a place for your friends to hang out. And we'll get into Facebook later, but LinkedIn is a place for making business connections. So it's a great place to do that and to introduce yourself to people. So you did a good mini cast, which we'll link in the show notes, but can you, Mark, tell us a bit little more about what you think about LinkedIn and getting business there?
Yeah. I mean, so it's been really interesting because I've been on LinkedIn for a long time and, it's evolved a little bit. When I first started on LinkedIn, it was pretty much a place to look for a job and to keep your resume always updated. Mm-hmm. Microsoft got involved with LinkedIn some time ago, and they've really improved things quite a bit. So now it is a place where you build a profile to both to expose yourself to other businesses and to make connections with other businesses. So it's not a great place if you are a straight business to consumer. So, you know, if you sell, you know, funny reunion t-shirts, it's probably not going to be as good of a platform for you as if you sell trade show gear, or if you sell, you know, business apparel or school apparel even is great on LinkedIn. Because mostly it's people there that are there to network for their business.
Yeah, you're more than likely to meet the owner of a realtor office that would like all of their staff to have matching shirts or hats or whatever it is that they wear or gifts that they want to give to their clients than you are to sell funny political t-shirts. You know, the funny political t-shirts you're probably better off selling on Instagram. So I wouldn't expect that those are different directions to go, but LinkedIn is a great place to get those business to business clients, which are a fantastic source of revenue. It might not be your niche now. And we always talk about finding niches, but when you're looking to expand and grow your business, if your niche is not doing enough, then you need to find another one. And LinkedIn just might, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. So for example, because I represent Cold Essie a lot on my LinkedIn profile, that I'm part of groups that have to do with not just marketing, but screen print marketing, t-shirt groups, t-shirt production groups, rhinestone apparel groups. So similar to Facebook, you know, I participate in different groups to a different extent in order to make sure that people in that group know about Cold Essie and what we do. You know, there's some embroidery groups out there, and these might be good for you to join just for socialization personally with other businesses like yours. Not great for you to prospect, but would be is maybe there's a college alumni group or a high school alumni group in your area, or I know that there's a Tampa networking business group, mm-hmm. you know, that would probably be ideal for you to join.
Yeah.
But you know, you're going to want to, and please do look at the, I put a LinkedIn, a link in our show notes for a LinkedIn mini cast that I did on setting up your profile. And you really do want to go through that and make sure that you have a good base, because once you start connecting with people or trying to, then what's going to happen, the first thing they're going to do is look at your LinkedIn profile. So if you are if you're a part-time or a side hustler, and your LinkedIn profile says you're an insurance agent, but you start approaching people about being an embroiderer, they're not going to understand. So yeah. you may have some massaging to do to your LinkedIn profile if this is what you decide to use it for.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. You've got to make sure that it's up to date and it makes sense. And I'm not a huge LinkedIn user myself, not because I don't think it's a good tool or anything like that. But currently in my life, I'm not doing anything to prospect on there. So I don't, the marketing that I do at Cold Essie doesn't have to do with connecting people on there. You know, that's more of a sales approach. I'm not pursuing other careers, so I don't need to, kind of have anything connected to that. So I don't use it as much, but I did a lot for a long time. And anytime that we've been looking to hire somebody here, I go in and I update my LinkedIn profile. And one of our best salespeople and best employees, Iris, came from LinkedIn. We met on LinkedIn, nice. And that's how she ended up working for Cold Essie. And that was 5 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. And I'll give you another example. Our Cold Essie On Demand division is pretty new. Mike Angel is the go-to guy for that, for the company. And basically it's kind of it's a click to ship consulting gig. So, you know, Mike on LinkedIn and Cold Essie On Demand on LinkedIn are brands or regional brands that want to offer customization direct to their end user. Or if you're like a wholesale screen printer or bigger wholesale embroiderer that wants to start, you know, doing custom websites for their customers to order from, or going direct with configurators and things like that, then Cold Essie On Demand is who you would talk to. And that's the perfect kind of a play on LinkedIn, because mm-hmm. now Mike tries to connect with big screen printers and wholesale printers and, you know, the big Cornette DTG print houses and things like that to get them into our service. What you would do is kind of the same thing. If you are a commercial embroiderer and business is your niche, then what you're going to do is say, okay, the people that I'm looking for are owners of plumbing businesses. Mm-hmm. And you're going to search for that on LinkedIn and connect with those people. Or you're going to look for a group of people that are talking about plumbing or pest control or uniforms, you know, whatever that may be. You're just going to start to participate socially. It's all free. All it takes is your activity. You've got to devote a little time to doing that.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned about the on-demand and the large screen print shops and things like that. If you are a small company and you only have one DTG printer or one embroidery machine and that's all you are, then connecting with those folks can be a way to get business as well.
No, that's a good point.
You know, it's really, it's twofold. One is sometimes those larger shops just turn away small orders. And they typically will recommend somebody. They'll have, because someone will call up and say, hey, can you make a custom bib for my, you know, granddaughter? And they'll say, we don't really do just one-off custom jobs, but here's who you can call.
Yeah.
So you want to, if you're, the more of those people you're in front of that know who you are and what your niche is and what you specialize in, the more of those referrals you'll get. And there's a lot of successful people that all they do is one-offs.
Absolutely. So, and you know, this groundwork that we're setting here, these kinds of things where the first thing you do is on whatever platform we're going to talk about, you set up a great focused profile about your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing you do is you start to join groups and connect with people that are in your target market or in your niche audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to start to share things that are related to that niche and answer questions in the forums or the groups that represent your niche. And then you start the one-on-one.
That's great. I agree 100% with that. Now, when it comes to LinkedIn, when you are doing this online prospecting and searching, LinkedIn is going to limit the amount of activity you could do for free.
Yep.
Right. So you will reach a limit. You can only send this many messages, et cetera, for free because they do have a premium service. And that's going to rough you. The price changes over time, but it's between 30 and 150 a month, depending on what you're looking for. I think the 150 is like for recruiters.
Yeah.
So most people,
it's reasonable that it's not too bad.
So, but for about 50 or 100 a month or less, you can get kind of the full open access that allows you to send as many messages as you want. So what I would, in my thoughts, if it were me doing it, I would start with the free version.
Yeah.
See what you can get out of it. And then once you get a client, then you can decide what you should upgrade to if it's needed. Because
100%. And I'll tell you that Coldesi right now is still using the free version.
Okay. Yeah.
And the, I'm just going to say that for most of you listening to this, I would completely ignore any paid advertising opportunities that LinkedIn tries to entice you with.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively new still. And if you want to try it, I'd love to get some feedback from somebody that's been successful, but it doesn't seem like the custom apparel market is a great advertising topic for the people on LinkedIn, just because your market is smaller. So if I'm a recruiter or if I'm a marketing agency, then there's a bajillion people on LinkedIn that are going to be my prospect. Not so if you're kind of a focused custom decorator.
Yeah, and I would say because what you're going to find is a really large company like Bank of America probably has some. How many people work for Bank of America that are on LinkedIn, right? And most of them have their apparel provided by the organization. So if you could connect with, you know, the person in charge of that on LinkedIn, that would be something. Right. But all those Bank of America employees are not yours. But anyway, so the paid advertising stuff, that is not for this podcast. That's for a podcast talking about experimental ways to advertise your business.
Yeah.
And not for trying to save money. That's for trying to take money that's extra and spend it on something you've never tried before.
Absolutely.
I think is great. I would love for somebody to try that. But you need to have a good idea. You need to make sure, and I have no clue what the platform offers. I'm sure that somebody out there is going to have success doing it. But
I'm going to look at it.
You're going to have to spend money to figure that out.
I'm currently looking at it. So
okay.
I'll let everybody know how it goes. But for LinkedIn, I think that it's a good place to go to. It's a good place to develop. Especially if you don't have a big presence on LinkedIn already, because again, it's cheap or free. You're going to invest some of your time and there's only opportunity. There's no downside. Okay. So, It's a great one. I think the next one is probably something that most of our customers will already be doing at least a little bit in some ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's great. So to wrap up on the LinkedIn, it's really important to just start building connections on there because they will turn into business. And the easiest way to get started is to connect with a bunch of different people. And anytime you can connect them to someone on LinkedIn or refer them, that is going to get you the biggest chance of getting business in the future from them, a referral from them. So if you do connect with somebody who sells private health insurance, and if you find connections on there and you connect them with somebody new who's a prospect, even if it doesn't turn into a sale for them, they're going to notice that. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember you, that you're the t-shirt person that that gave them a prospect for health insurance, and you're likely to get a referral from them. So that's the easiest way to start, is just participate, refer people.
Agreed.
So next we talked about, next one we put Facebook stalking, which is my favorite of
you put Facebook topics. Stalking.
It's my favorite title for the topics. And because it's funny because, you know, we don't literally mean, you know, Facebook stalking on there, which is, yeah, exactly. But kind of, you know, but what is Facebook stalking, right? I would say Facebook stalking is when you're secretly following somebody's feed and going back years or whatever it is at every picture and post that they have, and you are following them and you know everything about them and they have no clue that you're looking at them. Right. And that's kind of what it could be, right? Stalking is when somebody is, you know, literally following somebody around. So you're electronically following someone around.
So far I'm very nervous. I don't know.
Yeah. It's scary, but it's not, you know, because this is why, this is the story. So let's say you're a member of a Facebook group, and in this group, you run into a business owner who comments on any type of, it could be anything, right? People could just be talking about what's going on with business in the summer, yada, yada, yada. And then somebody says, you know, my noodle restaurant has really been taking off this summer, right? And they have like an Asian noodle restaurant. And they just make that comment. So what do you do is you kind of, like, quote, Facebook stalk them. So what do is you click on their profile. Is it public? Are they posting a lot of pictures about their business? You know, does their profile link to their business? Do they have a business page? Go to that page, look at it. Do they have reviews? Do they have comments? Do you notice in the pictures that they have custom apparel or not? Are they wearing matching hats? Are they wearing matching masks? Are they wearing matching t-shirts? You know, things like that. How long have they been in business? Do they have posts if they're hiring people? Do they sell noodle swag?
Right.
You know, noodle t-shirts. So anyway, you just do all that for somebody. It doesn't take that long, right? I mean, you can do that in 5 minutes. But now you've got an idea that that person might be a prospect.
Yeah. There's some things that terrify me and there's some things I like about that.
Okay.
I do like the idea of, so it's a standard kind of basic sales practice is if you are going to contact someone that doesn't know you, is the best thing that you can do is do a little research in advance. Like, if I walk into, let's say if I'm doing an in-person sales call on an owner of a chain of hair salons. You know, I don't want to walk in and talk about, so tell me what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like what I want to do is I want to, and I've done this frequently, is I want to identify who that person is. I want to learn a little bit about their business and I want to learn a little bit about them personally to see if there's any places that we connect, that we match. Now, if you are stuck at home this moment or you don't feel comfortable getting in the car and going and hitting the local shopping center and going door to door to see what people might be interested in buying from you. What you can do is the Facebook version of that, which is what Mark said. So, you know, like here, if there's a Tampa networking group, You know, or better yet, if I'm just driving down the street and I notice a shopping plaza next to my house and there's a noodle restaurant, you know, then what I want to do is I'm going to Google that. I'm going to find that business on Facebook. I'm going to identify the owner and the employees, and I'm going to start working them into my prospecting method, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm going to find about them. I'm going to comment on things that they post on. I'm going to introduce myself at some point, and I'm just going to stalk them to learn everything about them and their business I can. So, you know, hey, maybe you've got kids that go to the same school that you didn't know about, or maybe that's you're both now. From Gibsonton, or mm-hmm. maybe you both that's work at the circus, too. You know, I mean, whatever it is, you know, like, hey, I drive by your place every day, you know, looks good. Or, hey, I noticed that you also spend some time at Leavenworth, you know, me and you, we have things in yeah. common.
There's lots of things I like about that, and I'm super creeped. How about I could just picture you messaging, hey, I noticed our kids go to the same school.
No,
lead with that.
I wouldn't do that. That would come up later.
It might come up later, though. It is a good point that it might come up later, and if it does come up, you know, it's an interesting thing to bring up. But how this would work out is you're just doing online research about them, and it's on a public place that they chose to allow to be public, right? Yeah. And they post it out there. So all that information is fair game because they put it up there so other people would see. You don't post things on social media for people.
And you don't have evil intent here. You're not.
No. Yeah, exactly. You're just trying to see, is this somebody who could be a potential customer of mine? Right. You answered some of those questions. They're not wearing matching gear. They're a successful growing shop. And if you're a successful business, every restaurant that is turned itself into a big chain,
yeah,
all are wearing uniforms.
Yeah.
Right. There's none that aren't. And it's just part of the look. It's part of the feel. When you walk in, you see they're all wearing noodle hats and they're kind of funny with a funny logo. And it's interesting. You know who works there clearly. You know, it's not a customer cleaning a table, you know, it's a staff member. And then maybe those hats are interesting enough or those shirts are interesting enough and people are big enough fans that they will buy that apparel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you could help sell that. And we talk about that all the time. I mean, how many restaurants sell swag, you know, which is an interesting concept, right?
Plus, I mean, you know, right now there's a big opportunity, speaking of restaurants, is, you know, branded masks, mm-hmm. you know, are a big thing. So maybe the noodle place does have great gear.
Yeah.
But the employees are bringing their own face masks.
Yeah, which is true of almost all of them still.
Yeah.
So yeah. That so they're bringing their own or is out there.
The owner is buying the box of the paper masks or whatever it is that people get, you know, but local chain here, Publix, has some really nice looking face masks that they give to their employees.
Somebody got a really nice contract, made a really great product, yeah. and they look good.
Let me break down really the way nice. That I would use my preferred method of using Facebook to get business. And that is marketing inside groups. And I did a little mini cast on that as well. It's mini cast number 3. You can find it on the CIS.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
Yep. So the, but what I would do is I would join groups in your Facebook groups in your niche. Just like we talked about with LinkedIn, you want to build a good Facebook profile that reflects your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a business profile. Because if you start approaching people on Facebook, the first thing that they're going to do is if you send them a message or you comment, they're going to go to your personal Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, keep that in mind. You should have a Facebook business page filled out as well. And if you join Facebook groups, like there's a Tampa Business Networking Facebook group. And people are always posting, hey, I do pest control. Mm-hmm. Call me. I do pool resurfacing or driveway pressure washing or things like that. Those are 100% all custom apparel prospects.
Yeah.
So if I was a custom t-shirt printer, what I would do is I would be joining that and saying, hey, that looks like a great service. What do you guys do for custom apparel?
Yeah, that's great. And actually, I want to get into groups next, actually.
Okay.
And let's really dive into that. Mm-hmm. I made a note here that I wanted to kind of just to wrap up the idea of the Facebook stalking. And then I want to dive into notes because groups, because you made some really good points.
Sounds good.
So what you've gone through and you've kind of done your little bit of preliminary research on this business, and it's just somebody who commented in a group or like you said, you drove by their restaurant. Now what you do is now you make the approach, and one of the easiest ways to do it, might be through a direct message on Facebook on their business page, probably, or through a group, are probably the two ways to do it. If the group allows you to do that, don't get kicked out of groups and try to sneakily DM people. You'll get kicked out and it's not going to be good for you because you're not going to get back in. And you just say something, hey, I noticed you have a noodle shop. I saw you posted on the group. It's doing really well. I looked at your Facebook page. Your food looks really good. You know, it's making me hungry. One thing I noticed was your team didn't have matching shirts or hats or masks or whatever it is. I own a local custom apparel shop. I'd love to chat about stepping up the look of your team, making you look good. I can do shirts, hats. And have you ever even thought about selling, swag out of your restaurant for your biggest fans?
Man, I feel like people should write down what you just said.
Yeah, it'll be in the notes.
Copy and paste that. That's good.
Yeah, it'll be in the notes. So you can copy and paste it literally. Just change the word noodle to something that makes more sense.
Please, because otherwise it'll just be very confusing.
But that's it. The format that you would write this is very, very simple. So here's what you write down. Okay, say hello. Introduce who you are. Compliment them. Compliment something that you notice. Make an observation about why they might need custom apparel or what you do. And then from that observation, have the solution. So here's the steps of that, of what I wrote, and you can hear it. Hey, I noticed you have a noodle shop and it's doing well. It's your introduction, you're in the same group together. This is making some assumptions that you guys have interacted before, maybe on the Facebook group. So there's some assumptions there, but, I looked at your Facebook page and the food looks good. Compliment. One thing I noticed was your team didn't have matching shirts. Observation. I own a local custom apparel shop and I'd love to chat with you about stepping up the look of your team. Solution to that observation. And then finishing with being more specific. I can do shirts, hats, aprons, and even masks.
Yeah.
So there's the formula. Great. Simple.
That's great.
Bet you didn't think it was thought out, did you?
No, I was like, you obviously have your own notes.
That's all in my brain.
No.
Okay. Now groups, right? We noted here specifically join local groups and forums, but this is true of all groups. It doesn't have to be local, but local is important.
It could be niche. And national.
Local can also mean niche local. That's a good point. Mustang fan groups, is very local to your niche. Further, Mustangs in Florida, if you're a Floridian, and Mustangs in Tampa, Florida is going to be even better because you can sell something. People love buying local. You can hand deliver or drop something in the mail really cheap and they'll get it the next day, stuff like that. So, but I'd love for you to chat more about that Facebook group.
It's just that the groups are kind of, they're your people. These are where your people are. If you sell camo or hunting gear or archery equipment or, things like that, you're going to be in a group that talks about those things. If you are, if you're a plumber, you're going to be in a homeowners group, offering solutions. If you are a custom apparel decorator, then you're going to be in the groups that are your niche or target markets. And if it is anyone in Tampa, so if your group is geographical, then you're going to look for those groups wherever they are. Mm-hmm. And if you're national, you're going to look for groups that just have to do with your niche, or you, like Mark said, you can double down. Like I deal with mostly with plumbers and electricians in the Tampa Bay area. So where are those people? Not just where do they talk to each other, but where might they try to sell things? Mm-hmm. So I mentioned the Tampa business networking group or small business groups, because that's where businesses go to sell each other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And anywhere where people are selling each other stuff, they need what you sell.
Yes. And it's likely to be received well.
Yeah.
Because you go there with an expectation of being sold, right? If you go to a trade show, for example, then you're going to a show knowing that there's a lot of people there trying to sell you something. You go to a mall, right? You know, you're going to be tried to be sold something off of a shelf. So it's okay to do that there. And because it's expected.
You can be direct in groups like that.
Yes.
Now, if you're just going to go into, like, if you sell cheerwear, for example, you don't want to join the Florida cheerleading group or forum or whatever it is, and then just start talking about the stuff that you make.
Right? Chances are they're not even going to allow that.
Yeah. I mean, because the people in that group, I mean, think about it. If it was you, the people in that group are not there to sell or be sold to. They're there to talk about something they love doing or are passionate about. Mm-hmm. And your job is to participate and support that and look for opportunities to introduce what you do.
Yeah. So I would think a great opportunity might be to people are sharing something that they recently purchased, right? Like a bow or a t-shirt or a bag or whatever it might be. That's a great opportunity for you to comment and share yours.
Yeah.
And if it's, and then likely somebody will say, cool, where'd you get that? I actually make them and sell them. The name of my business is Bose Boutique.
Yep. You'll also get people just out and out calling out. They're looking for referrals. You know, they might be there looking for last minute warm-up jackets. Mm-hmm. You know, does anybody know the best place to get Cheer Mom t-shirts? Or does anybody know the best place I can get this customized? Those questions happen all the time in forums.
Yeah.
And if you're there, you know, the idea is for you to participate in advance. So if you're there, you're building up a little trust.
Yeah.
So I'll give you another example. The Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, you know, we've got businesses in there that are digitizers. They're only digitizers. And some of them, they participate in the group. They'll comment on people's embroidery. They'll show examples. They'll answer questions, like if somebody's having a problem. And then occasionally when someone asks, you know, if anybody knows a good digitizer, they'll post. So yeah, I do that. You know, feel free to call me. And those are fine. But if you want to get removed from the CAS group, just come on 4 times a week and post, I do digitizing for $15.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the topic of your post, because that's not what it's for.
And that's going to be most of the time how most groups are going to act.
Absolutely.
And you
align yourself with the group interest.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're ever questioned or concerned, you could typically just message the admin and just say, hey, I participate in this group a bunch, and they can look you up if they want and say, hey, is it okay if I ever link out to my website? Because sometimes folks ask for stuff that I sell, and they will say yes or no. And if they said yes, then boom, you just got permission to link to your website, and you drop it when it's appropriate, and don't spam the group, because people will, you don't want to be associated. Yeah. Oh, that's the link out lady. You want to be somebody that's trusted and liked. And I think it's really simple of just, sometimes you just have to say, good job, great work, happy Friday. You know, people will see your name.
Hey, listen, you know, in most Facebook groups, even the really big ones, if you comment daily or 5 times, even if it's just 5 times a week, even just to like something, you will quickly become one of the most active people on the Facebook group.
Statistically, absolutely.
So even in a large group, if you just go in 5 times, you make a comment, hey, that looks nice. I like that. I did something like this. That's a good question. Maybe turn it inside out before you wash it. You know, whatever your comments are, if you post and comment 5 times in a week, it's not going to be long until you're one of the people that are key to the group.
Yeah.
And that's a good position for you to be in when you reach out.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you reach out to the admin, oh yeah, I know you, you're here every day. Yeah, I know. You know, this is a fun group for me, you know? Yeah, of course you can do that. Thanks for participating.
You had mentioned one that, a couple actually that I hadn't thought of, as far as like local groups and forums, you put in Nextdoor.
Yep.
How would you do the same kind of thing in Nextdoor?
So, I would treat it very similarly, but almost exactly the same, right? So in Nextdoor, people, typically are complaining about the HOA. No, but typically people will say, hey, does anyone know a good trash hauling service? Does anyone know a good tree trimmer? Hey, I saw that there was some police at the exit of the neighborhood. Was there a car accident? Does anyone know, you know, if the when this new 7-Eleven is going to open up, you know, things like that. So right. Participate and comment on those things. You know, even if you just say no, but I'm curious, I don't know when it's going to open up, but I'm curious too. Right. And that's good enough. Yeah. If you've used a lawn service or tree trimming service or whatever it is, and you like them, and if you've given them money in the past few months, I mean, definitely just mention their name. You know, better if you give their phone number or web address, but just so you participate. The more you participate, the more people in your community will know who you are, because you're one of the people that is always commenting. I know in my Nextdoor app, I know people that I see on there often. Okay. I know the Karens of the neighborhood. I know the, you know, and I know the people who just like, you know, who like to have fun on there. I know the trolls, you know, et cetera.
So do they ever do, like business call outs? Like, you know,
I've seen some. So in mine, and I don't know how it's adminned. How someone becomes an admin? I guess they just claimed the neighborhood a long time ago. I have no idea how it works. Honestly, I never researched it, free of my ignorance. But in my area, I will see posts of people say, "Hey, I'm a tree trimming service. If anyone needs it, you know. And by the way, so and so is one of my customers. If you want to, you know, if you want to,
that's a good approach.
You know, so." I think that's fine. But I do see posts get removed, and I'm confident you would just have to look to see if there's some local rules or regulations about you posting your business. But it's the same as Facebook groups. You can sly in, just drop your business every once in a while, and nobody's probably going to give you any trouble for it.
Right.
It's only if you're every day you're posting your new cool, funny t-shirt that you sell online and you're posting it on there. You're probably, that's not about your community. So it should be about your community when it comes to Nextdoor, and just become known as the embroiderer or the t-shirt person. And when you're known on there, your name will get mentioned. It will also give you the opportunity to stalk folks, which means somebody goes on there and they say, oh yeah, I've got a noodle shop down the road. That's in the same parking lot as that 7-Eleven. And then you go ahead and you can look them up on Facebook or online or Google them and find out if they're a prospect for you. And then you can comment underneath there, you know, I just looked your restaurant up, looks cool. I'm going to go there for lunch. And then while you're there, maybe you see the person because you saw their picture, and you introduce yourself and you say, hello, thanks, the noodles were great. I noticed nobody here is wearing any noodle swag. By the way, I do this. That's it.
You picked the best examples, by the way.
Thank you so much. So noodles, this podcast is moving along slowly.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to the next ones, because I think... read the show notes. We might have some more things that we mentioned in there. But the next two are kind of similar, but very important, very easy. Hard. No, email collecting and sending.
Yeah.
So what I mean,
we're doing the same things, right?
You're
looking for email. You're looking for someone's email address. You're identifying someone whether or not it's in one of the groups or not, or driving down the street and seeing a business, or, you know, looking for specific kinds of businesses in your area, and you're doing the same thing. You're finding their email address and you're emailing what we've been talking about, the way you would message somebody or approach them online.
Yeah, same thing. You do it in email the same way you do it on the phone or in person or through a direct message. You can use that same formula I mentioned before, and that's it. But you should be collecting emails as if they are tokens at Chuck E. Cheese. that eventually, as you collect more and more, you will get a prize. Okay. If you are looking up somebody's profile, their business profile, I should say, and they list, you know, Gary at noodleshop.com,
yep,
right there on their business page, they gave that email address out publicly, which means that they're expecting to get emails from strangers. Collect that email address, put it in your notes, get a CRM. If you haven't listened to any podcasts about that, you should, because you can put all this stuff in there. So get a CRM, put the email address in there, and when it's appropriate, send people emails, which should just be if you prospected them a little bit. And I think that's just, you just shoot some emails. You can send them reminder emails. You can message people, say, hey, we just met on Facebook. Here's my email address if you ever need this. You know, if you ever have any referrals.
If you really want to dig into the emails, which I strongly recommend, is I would give a listen to episode 31, make more money next month using email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
We do a solid hour on that goes all the way through it. The difference here, I think we're pointing out, is just that you're using it as another way of free contact or cheap contacting. You know, you might need to use, if you start to get a lot of emails, you might have to start having to pay for a service. But most of what we're talking about here right now is the same pattern. You identify a business, you go find their contact information, you send them an email or three.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And you can ask them to do anything in these emails. It might be asking them for business, asking them for referrals. You might be referring somebody to them, which is always a great way to get business. I just wanted to connect you with this person.
The same things that you mentioned before.
Yep.
You know, which were hello.
Yeah. You know. And then you send reminder emails too, or question emails. So you may have introduced them once before and it went nowhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't even reply, right? But you can email them again in a month and saying, hey, Halloween is coming. Is your restaurant going to have any specific Halloween apparel for your staff? If there is, we can talk about, if you would like to talk about that, I got some great ideas.
Yeah. For all of the things that we're talking about today, it's not a one and done effort.
Yeah.
So you don't message someone once or email someone once and they say, okay, that person is either a customer or I can scratch them off my list and never contact them again. Mm-hmm. Right. So you keep that information and you use it many times before you make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And you know, you get a CRM, you put all this stuff in notes. Every time you communicated with them, would put in notes, you put if they respond or not, how they responded, you keep notes on this stuff. You keep collecting the email addresses. And eventually those email addresses will turn into money.
Yeah. I love that.
So, and the next one is pick up the phone.
I like that you left this last.
Yeah.
Because if we start anything with pick up the phone, then people just immediately turn the podcast off.
Yeah, I'm not calling anybody, which is funny. It's so interesting that is a scary thing.
Yeah.
Because they can't do anything besides like hang up at you or be rude. You know, that's the worst thing that they could do. Don't ever call me again. Hang up. Yeah. I mean, that's about the worst thing they can do.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to differentiate between what you're doing and what the guys who keep doing the automated calls and automatic texts that I get to sell my house.
Yeah.
Right. Even though that works, because it still happens.
Yeah.
even though that works, you're not doing that. You're identifying a business that you know you can help, and you're introducing yourself and your capabilities to that business.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not a random spray and pray.
Kind of thing. And this is a great. This is great if you've just got a good personality. If you make friends easily, if you socialize well, then this is just going to be really good for you, especially.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an extrovert, because what a text message or an email or a direct message can't do is express the emotion, the inflection of your voice. And we all know somebody that when you talk to them, you just like them for some reason.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're that type of person, you got to do this first and foremost. So picking up the phone, the note I put here is this is free. This will get you business.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a very active way to sell because you are getting someone's attention for a period of time. Only that. Well, you know, right? When they pick up the phone, they say hello, you've got their attention.
Yeah.
And I put it, you know, it takes some chutzpah.
I like
that. It takes a little bit of guts because it's, for some reason, it's a little scary to be on the phone. Am I going to freeze up? What if they say this? What if they ask me a question I don't know who to answer to? What if they hang up on me? All of those things, if they do any of those things or whatever, at the end, when you hang up the phone, you're still sitting in your chair by yourself. So it's okay.
Good point. And you know, like, it's very few people are rude. And we talk about this every time we talk about phone calls. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's okay. You're calling up for a specific reason. If they're not interested, maybe they're busy. You know, they don't have to talk to you, but you want to give them the opportunity to.
Absolutely. So I say, you know, there's some little tips for doing this. Well, backing up a second, all the prospecting we talked about before is going to really help you with making those phone calls. You know, you can just go to Google and search, you mentioned plumbers, and get and pull up the list view and dial straight down.
Yeah.
You will make money that way.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little harder to do. It's a little colder. It's, you don't know much about them. And maybe, you know, but that is a way to do business, and you will make money if you do that. If you call every single plumber in your town, you probably will sell somebody some uniforms soon.
And I will tell you that you're the only one doing it.
Yes. You're probably the only one doing it.
I mean, actually, like, I don't know. People just don't get prospecting calls that often anymore.
Well, and not for our industry as much. Now, there are some others. There are industries that are very phone centric, SEO companies, because it's all profit and they don't really do anything. Merchant services, because they know once they get that credit card machine in your business, you're probably not going to change it anytime soon.
Right.
Different things like that, you will get a lot of prospecting type of phone calls for. But as far as like, hey, can I make you custom t-shirts? It's just not going to happen. And I also want to mention that about the groups and such above, you know, LinkedIn and local groups. Everyone knows somebody who used to be a realtor. Right. It is just everyone goes out there and thinks they can get their real estate license and make a bunch of money. And there's a lot of real estate agents out there. If you're in a group, there's probably five, right? If you're in a group of 100 people, there's probably five that are
at least.
And there's some other industries that are like that, but there's probably not five people who are embroiderers or custom t-shirts or bling businesses.
Definitely not.
Yeah. There might be one. There might be one. But they probably don't specialize in exactly what you do too. So if there is another person in that group, you should definitely befriend them, find out what they do, what's their niche, what do they specialize in? Is there anything they don't do? And if you are opposites on that, then you become friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't do any embroidery. Perfect. I do.
There you go.
I don't do any screen printing. So I'll refer screen printing business to you and back, or we can do each other wholesale between each other, whatever it is. So anyway, I digress. So one of the tips in when you pick up the phone is try to call during slow times for that business, because you're
don't call a restaurant during lunch. Is that what
don't call mean? A restaurant during lunch. Don't call a restaurant at 6 p.m. You're not going to get the manager on the phone. And if you do, he or she is hanging up immediately and walking away. So you call a restaurant at like 2:30.
Yep.
Right. In between lunch and dinner, that's when the manager is typically doing paperwork and stuff. They'll take a phone call then. That's just known in the restaurant industry. If you're going to sell something, if you want to have a meeting with your manager, whatever it is, that's the time frame you're doing it.
Yeah.
maybe for service-based industries, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's before their first appointment. During the day, they're slammed. During lunch, they're eating. And at the end of the day, they're beat. They're tired. They've been in, electricians been in, they've been in 8 attics today in the summer. They do not want to talk about t-shirts. So you call them 8 a.m. You know, your time to call on those might be between 8 and 9 a.m. So you got to just use some logic and think of what makes sense when to call these businesses. Some of them might be in the evening. Hello. You know, my name is Mark. I'm with your local custom t-shirt shop. I was hoping to chat with the manager about your custom apparel. Now, maybe that's one way. If you don't know who the owner is, you don't have insurance, you find out, you know, who is it you need to talk to? Who do I need to talk to about custom apparel? And then you get that person on the phone eventually. Hi, manager, you know, maybe restaurants. I know a lot of local restaurants are dealing with a bunch of new employees lately. I'm a local business too. I'm trying to kind of grow and draw up business and get going again. I was wondering if you had a need for custom t-shirts, hats, masks, whatever it is for any new staff you have.
Yeah, that's good.
There you go. You know, I mean, they'll respect you, especially. And then if you let them know you're local and you're a small business too, they're immediately going to empathize with you.
Yeah. And if you do a little research in advance, even you Google the company or you Google the restaurant and you see who the manager is or who the owner is, you know, you can even start with, hey, could I speak to Mary? Could I speak to Mary Shelby?
Yeah.
You know, and see if you can get through that one.
Yeah. And you can also do that over the phone ahead of time. Call up. Hey, who's the manager? Jerry. Okay. Thanks. Boom. All right. I'll call Jerry at 2 o'clock, you know, because it's a restaurant and he's not going to be busy then.
That makes sense.
There are a million books and videos and philosophies and articles on phone selling and emailing, you know, people randomly and things like that. Just like the baby example earlier, if you just start watching some of those videos and buying some of those books and reading them, you're going to understand a philosophy. You're automatically going to be better at it.
Agreed. And the only, my only tip for doing that is, sort by date, look for things that are published in the past few years. There are some great older ones, but things change pretty quickly as well. So I wouldn't start with those.
Yeah.
You know, is maybe
especially books.
Especially books.
You know, like I had, well, there's a book I was sharing in my office the other day. It was like social media marketing book.
Mm-hmm.
Great book when I read it. I really loved it, but it was from like 2009. Or something like that. So nothing was relevant anymore.
That's great.
The concepts were. So the knowledge I learned then I still use today. Yeah. But the specific examples you'll lose out on. And I have an old book from the 70s, you know, that talks about like handwriting letters. You know, and it's like, well, you just don't really do that. Yeah. But maybe you do. Maybe you that sets you apart. okay. Wrap this up. What do you got?
Yeah, man, I think this was just a great, and we didn't even get into Instagram strategies and things like that. Maybe we can do that at some point. But look, these are 5 cheap or free ways to market your business. And each one of them, if you devote a little time and attention to it, they're going to lead to sales. So mm-hmm. I know Mark always has a little bit of homework for you at the end. I would say to, you know, at least go through, and if one of these is particularly appealing, look for the link in each section and go and listen to the other podcast episode.
Yeah, okay.
Specifically about those topics.
That's great. I've got a few thoughts, actually, to finish this up. One is, one's a dare.
Oh.
It's a dare. So I dare you to pick a niche industry like restaurants or plumbers or electricians or AC or whatever it is. I dare you to pick an industry, write a really short sales pitch, go to Google, search for them within your zip code and pull up the list view and just dial straight down that list until you're done.
Nice.
I dare you to do that because you will probably end up having a couple nice conversations and you might make a sale.
20 phone calls.
I dare you to do that because it might be tough for a lot of people. Yeah. Once you do it a little bit, it gets easier. And I still don't like it personally. It's not my favorite thing to do. It's on the bottom of my list of things to do. But okay. When you do it and you get success, there's a good rush out of it. It feels good. You understand it does work. And there's a way you can get some money in your pocket. So anyway, I dare you to do that. And then this idea is Mark Stevenson's idea, which we didn't talk about in this at all. And it's actually a sixth cheap way. Make a custom mask and mail it to people that you've prospected just cold.
Yeah.
You make one mask. If you buy like a 500 pack of masks, you can get them for like $1.85 on Coleman and Company. Yeah. You make a mask, you print out their logo or whatever it might be. Hopefully you can do something that's a little faster than that. If you embroider, it might take a little longer. You might need to maybe put your Lear logo or something generic, you know, on it to be able to production it more realistic.
Sure.
You mail them a free mask with a card in it and a note that says, hey, I can make a mask with any logo you want on it for $10 a piece or whatever you want to say, buy 10 masks, get 2 free, whatever you want to write, just do something, give them a reason to give you a call.
Yeah. I love that. So you're going to look at spending maybe $5 to $10.
Yeah.
On each one of those. So I would do that. I just make sure that you are being more careful or being more selective about the companies that you send it to, just to make sure that the potential is worth it. So if you're going to go after a plumbing company, make sure it's not just one guy in his van.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? If you're going after a restaurant, make sure it's not just 3 people in a sandwich shop.
Make sure that the business is still open. Just because they're on Google doesn't mean that they're
scale for potential. But I love that. I think
that's and so let me think real quick on the cost. So if you buy bulk masks, it's going to be $1.85 currently
We just did 2 ROIs, one for Digital Heat FX and one for DTG.
Yeah. So thread or ink or toner and paper with a small logo is going to cost you like a dime. So we're at $1.95.
$2.
$2 for a mask. And then if you mail locally, USPS, and you find really small packaging, you could probably mail it for less than $1.
Okay.
So now we're at $3. Then you figure a business card or a little postcard or something like that shouldn't cost you 50 cents or less or a dime. So $3.50.
Okay.
A piece, right? Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. You're right.
So that's pretty cheap. And if you do 100 of them, that's $350.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little marketing campaign. That's not too much money. You can put it on a credit card even. You know, it's something anyone can do. I mean, that's what I mean. You can put it on a credit card. You probably have $350 cash. And it's a pretty cool way. If you identify 100 businesses that you think are pretty good prospects. And then you email them and then you call them.
I like it.
So good. That's a wrap.
That is a wrap. This has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And Mark Vila from Cold Essie and Coleman and Company. Be sure to check out ColemanandCompany.com for if you're looking for any blank apparel. We've just added a ton more, including masks. And check out coldessigraphics.com as well. Another little pitch. If you're looking to get custom logos made or embroidery digitizing, they actually sew out the design for you. So they digitize your design and then they sew it out on the color and type of material you request and send you that picture along with all the information in the files. You know that the design looks great and how it'll sew out before you even turn your machine on.
I love it. Thanks for listening, everybody. You guys have a great business.
Thanks. Bye-bye.